Welcome to the IPF edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the pulmonary fibrosis community.
Hello, and welcome to the Rare Care Podcast. This is your host, Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're here at the CHEST 2024 conference in Boston, and our guest today is Dr. Drew Harris, an Associate Professor of Medicine at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville. Dr. Harris is also Medical Director of the Black Lung Program at Stone Mountain Health Services in Southwest Virginia, which sits in the heart of the coal mining industry that's historically been so vital to the Appalachian region that also includes southern West Virginia and eastern Kentucky. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Dr. Harris.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Please tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
So I'm a pulmonologist, a lung doctor. I work primarily in central Virginia, which is rural, about 2 hours from Washington, D.C., for those not so familiar with Virginia. And I also work in the coal fields of Southwest Virginia, which is about 300 miles from where I live, in a real rural, mountainous region of our state.
What about your background that brought you to this current job?
Sure. So as a lung doctor, I'm focused mostly on lung diseases that affect vulnerable or rural populations. And when I moved to central Virginia 7 or 8 years ago, I quickly realized there are very few pulmonologists that work for coal miners and in coal field communities. And there was a need for me to make the drives to be there and to show up to help care for a community that's become a really important part of my work and of my own community.
I also understand that before you did this, you were also working with Native Americans in Arizona.
Yes. In my training, I did in a very urban setting in Atlanta at Emory for internal medicine residency. Afterwards, I worked for 2 years in northern Arizona on a Navajo and Hopi reservation as an internal medicine physician before moving on to do my pulmonary and critical care training. And actually for the last 2 years, I've also worked in a telemedicine capacity to still work for that same Navajo and Hopi reservation as a consulting pulmonologist at Tuba City, Arizona.
So basically these are kind of marginalized populations, right?
For sure.
And they don't probably see pulmonologists very frequently.
Agreed. I think healthcare in all rural parts of our country is challenging for many reasons. In Central Appalachia is no exception. There are a few subspecialists in the region. It's also difficult to access for a number of reasons, like lack of public transportation and affordable childcare and jobs that don't often permit being able to take off work to go visit a doctor. There's also very few pulmonologists that take care of coal miners because there's a large overlap between the medical and legal aspects of care. A big part of what I do is help coal miners apply and often qualify for a federal black lung benefits program, which provides health insurance and a small monthly stipend to folks who have black lung that have severe disease, severe enough to deem them disabled. But that's a complex legal system that few pulmonologists want to take care of because folks often don't want to get involved in legal cases that involve depositions and writing legal opinions. So that's a big part of what I do and really an important part of the care of many sick coal miners that suffer from black lung.
Before we get into the legal issues, can you tell us basically what is black lung disease?
Sure. So black lung is a layperson term that we all use because the term that would more accurately describe the disease is called coal dust related lung disease. And that's a mouthful to say, but it encompasses a large different spectrum of diseases ranging from more familiar diseases like COPD, emphysema, and bronchitis. It's important to recognize that coal mine dust can cause familiar diseases like COPD and emphysema, but black lung also encompasses a larger spectrum of disease. So something like dust-related diffuse fibrosis or DDF, which mimics similar other fibrotic lung diseases like IPF or idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. But in dust-related fibrosis, the fibrosis is caused by breathing in the coal dust. And black lung also encompasses coal workers' pneumoconiosis or silicosis. And this is when someone breathes in coal dust and the dust triggers an inflammation that forms scarring and nodules in the lung, and that can become quite severe. Really, all three of those manifestations of the disease can be severe. So COPD, dust-related fibrosis, and pneumoconiosis or silicosis are all manifestations of the disease.
Dr. Harris, we've been hearing about black lung disease for years, for decades. I mean, this is nothing new. And in fact, from what I understand, the death rate for black lung disease has actually dropped over the years as coal miners are able to access better care.
Yes, so you're right. This is an ancient disease. And in the late 1960s, early 1970s, the U.S. federal government put in protections for coal miners that limited the amount of dust and increased surveillance of the disease. And over the next three decades or so, the prevalence rates and severity of disease decreased substantially. However, in the last two decades, we've seen a huge resurgence of the disease concentrated primarily where I work in central Appalachia. And my colleagues all in the University of Illinois in Chicago and at National Jewish in Denver and at NIOSH, part of the CDC, have all published lots of studies that now make it clear that the reason for this resurgence is due to the conditions that are occurring in more contemporary coal mines in central Appalachia, where miners are exposed not only to coal dust, but also to rock dust or silica dust, which is far more toxic than coal dust. And so this exposure to silica dust is what's driving the resurgence of this disease, which now is really devastating miners that have worked in more contemporary mines in central Appalachia.
Do you have any statistics on how many coal miners come down with the disease and how many die from it?
The answer to that question in two categories. The first is in working coal miners, and there are folks that study and survey working coal miners at the CDC, the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health. They run what's called the Co-Workers Health Surveillance Program, which provides x-rays and spirometry breathing tests to working miners periodically throughout their working years. And in their data, which they've published in the last few years, in long tenured, meaning folks who have worked in mines for several decades, the rates of disease are quite high. More than one in five miners that are working have evidence of the disease. And the rates of disease in retired or disabled miners are likely far higher. I'm part of a network of clinics that take care of folks who have mostly just retired or have been deemed disabled from black lung. And they're often approaching our clinic network to apply for federal black lung benefits. And so that's a sort of self-selected group of patients that are seeking care because they're sick from disease. But in studies of our clinic networks, we see very high rates of very severe disease. And so recently published data suggests that almost one in 10 miners that are applying for federal black lung benefits in the state of Virginia have what's called progressive massive fibrosis, which is the most severe form of black lung. And so just to pause on that number for a second, that means almost one out of 10 miners who are applying after they've spent their careers working in coal mines have the most severe form of black lung, which is really a tragedy, and it's a 100% preventable condition. And so there aren't too many other workplaces in the country where we would permit people to develop such severe disease with just showing up to work and doing what they're supposed to be doing at work and getting a really horrible, incurable, preventable disease.
I see. That kind of begs the next question. Coal mining in general is on the decline as other sources of energy appear far more environmentally friendly and less polluting. With the decline of the coal industry, aren't we likely to see a decline in black lung disease as well?
Great question. And I think eventually the answer will be yes. And currently there are fewer than 50,000 working coal miners in the U.S. And that number is important to put in the context of how many former coal miners still are living in communities around coal fields, in which there are hundreds of thousands of former or retired or disabled coal miners. And so although current miners are fewer and fewer each year, there are still a humongous community of former or retired miners. And these are the folks that I'm often taking care of in our clinics, which are a group of people that are suffering. And I think despite the fact that coal is on its way out in our country and elsewhere, that this community of people still needs to be kept in mind, and that have huge health needs that are unmet in the vast majority of coalfield communities around the states.
So let's get back very quickly before we run out of time soon on the legislative question. What do we do about it? And more importantly, what are members of Congress doing, particularly lawmakers such as Senator Manchin of West Virginia?
I'll answer that in two ways. The first is protections for working coal miners. And so the federal agency that's in charge of protecting miners is called the Mine Safety Health Administration, or MSHA. And after years of advocacy from miners, from physicians, from lawyers, from widows, from advocacy organizations, MSHA has produced a new set of protections for coal miners, which will be implemented starting this summer, which will reduce the amount of coal and specifically silica dust that miners are allowed to be exposed to, which has great potential if it's implemented and enforced appropriately to prevent disease in working miners. But that doesn't help the hundreds of thousands of miners that are already suffering from the disease. But we're optimistic that regulation will improve the rates of disease and the severity of disease in working miners and for future generations. And then the second is, what do we do to help improve the care of miners who are already suffering from disease? And in the last decade, multiple times there have been lawmakers that have brought up a bill that's called the Black Lung Benefits Improvement Act, which will help improve the process for miners who are sick from black lung to receive their federal black lung benefits in multiple different ways. And I'm optimistic that at some point this bill will get passed. And recently several lawmakers have reproposed this bill in the last 6 months or so. And so I'm hopeful that anyone listening to this podcast might take a look at that specific regulation and encourage their regulators to move forward with that bill.
Who could possibly be against it?
It's a great question. I think it's a complicated answer, but when someone receives federal black lung benefits, they receive health insurance and a monthly stipend. And that health insurance comprehensively covers anything related to someone's lung condition, including a lung transplant, which can be upwards of $1.5 million. And the people on the hook for paying those benefits are the coal companies themselves. And so companies will fight tooth and nail to try to prevent folks from receiving their federal black lung benefits, because it could potentially bankrupt a company if a couple people require lung transplants. And
after they've spent their whole lives working in the coal mines.
That's right. And so, you know, I think when I see miners, I try to be as fair and as just as possible. And if someone's not sick and not disabled or sick and not from black lung, I do not think that they should receive benefits. But I do think that folks who are sick from their coal mining deserve their federal black lung benefits. And this Black Lung Benefits Improvement Act will do a lot to help improve that process.
Dr. Harris, thank you so much for speaking with us. We've been talking with Dr. Drew Harris, Associate Professor of Medicine at the University of Virginia in Charlottesville, and also Medical Director of the Black Lung Program at Stone Mountain Health Services in southwestern Virginia. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.